He's tough. He's uncompromising. Plowing in with Terry Wallace.
For Subway Restaurant's $5 combo deal.
And the thing about football is on SEN2 from 4 o'clock on the day before the games, normally a Friday, but today a Thursday, Footy Fix is back. Tonsils Turf in the Ox from 4. Good afternoon, Terry Wallace.
Hello, Half. Well, it's finally here, isn't it?
We are there.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait for tonight.
Could you, there's been a bit talked about this in recent times, as a round one first game option, is this the best way to open the season?
I think it is.
It's got to go close, doesn't it?
Well, it's notoriously, I mean, even when the two sides were on the bottom of the ladder, they were still getting 70,000 plus coming to the game. So I don't think it matters where the sides are on the ladder necessarily. If they can continue to turn up and the game has a big build-up, well, it's got a huge build-up tonight because I was hearing the boys on Pure Footy and it was meant to be a positive time.
Try to be positive.
Wasn't it suggested that the loser of tonight gets sacked?
Well, that was
the coach.
That wasn't our call. That was Caro's call on Classified the other night. And she's backed it up with the article today in The Age. Heat's on Hardwick to deliver. Tigers start season with high hopes. So she's got one of them in the gun, Mick or Dimmer, if they don't win tonight. Well, I've got to be on the rack by the end of the season.
I've got to say, I have driven to that game rather
you would
pensive
know that.
Myself. And probably when Ben Cousins' hamstring popped in the first quarter.
Right in front of me it was. Perhaps, right in front of me.
Perhaps my heartstring might have popped a little bit at the same time.
Right
so,
in front of me.
Yeah, look, it is big stakes first up. And I think we'll get a great crowd there. Looking forward to the game. And it's interesting just to sort of see how they marry up. I sort of tried to do a selection of who's likely to play on who. And we know all that changes through the middle of the ground. But
yep.
They actually matched up more evenly when I sort of started doing my direct matchups than what I expected. I still think Richmond will win the game, and I come into the week expecting it to be that way. But when I sat down today and just went, this one will take that one and that one will take that one,
yep.
It was a bit more even than what I expected.
Well, we heard Luffy say, you would have heard him say it too, through Pure Footy, that he thinks Carlton are going to be dangerous this year. Not sure they're going to make the eight, but in fact said they wouldn't. But they'll be a dangerous team because they do have that capability to move the ball quickly. And some of their matchups against teams around their sort of bracket, they'll be quite competitive against.
Yeah, the other thing with them, and I think we spoke about it the other week, they're not a young team. They'll go in with a couple of young players, but not a lot of young players. And when I picked my best Carlton side, there's 15 of the 22 that were 24 plus of
yep.
age. So that's a mature
team. That's good.
That's a mature team. That's a team ready to go out and compete against anyone. Now, whether they're good enough to compete against the best or even the next tier down from the best, we have to wait and see that. But Mick's going to put out a side mature enough. He'll still develop a few. I mean, I know there was discussion on Boakhurst not playing. He'll come into the lineup at some stage.
Yep.
They'll get games into Cripps like they're doing tonight. But Mick's going to go in with a side that can win because, let's face it, Mick needs to win. So he's not going to go in and sort of say, oh, look, we're just looking for 2 or 3 years down the track. He needs to win games. So he's going to pick senior players that are capable of being able to do exactly that.
We had a radioactive topic today, Terry. I'm not sure if you heard it was picked a headline, deliver tomorrow's headline today for tonight's game. And a lot of great SMSs came through. One of those came in late. I didn't get a chance to read it, but you mentioned Patrick Cripps there. And it was just simply this, Tigers eclipsed. That's the hope they have for this young man in the Blues victory tonight.
Geez, developed, has it? I mean, just seeing him over the summer months playing in those NAB Challenge games, you can really sort of see a difference. I think even height-wise, I think he might have put on a couple of centimetres.
A couple of centimetres.
Yeah, well, that happens with younger guys, but certainly body development's there as well.
Well, let's go through tonight's game, Terry. We'll go through the 9 games for the weekend. And Carlton and Richmond, of course, tonight, from 6 on Melbourne's home of footy, 11:16 SEN. No ins and no outs from last week because there was no last week, Terry. But we've got a few first-timers for the Blues with Jax, Jones and Smith in the squad. What do you make of this game?
Well, let's go through those boys for a start. Clem Smith, I really like the way he goes about his footy. He's combative. So he'll put his head in. He'll certainly pile drive himself into packs. That's the way that he plays his football. Can play either end of the ground. I mean, inclined to sort of think that he'll play as a small forward
yep.
or the sub. I mean, one of the two roles. I think we've got a guarantee sub for the other side.
What's that?
Young Lloyd will play sub for Richmond. So just
he's just
lock that in.
The effective sub?
Just lock that in.
Right.
He played sub in two of the last two NAB Challenge games, and okay. I think that was for the
preparing for it.
Purpose of getting him ready. Up in Lavington, he kicked three goals coming on as the sub. That was the game they played Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Kicked three goals with his first three kicks, which is not bad.
It's good shooting.
Not too bad. And then he came on against North the next one and managed to get a goal in the last quarter as well. So I think he's been trying to do that role for round one. So I think you can just lock him down as being the sub for the Tigers. Are we sure that there won't be any late changes? I'm still
No, we're not. How can we be sure these days in footy? Who are the changes for both teams? Casbolt, Allard and Tutt from the Bulldogs for the Blues. And for the Tigers, Pettard, Vickery and Lambert.
Well, here's the one for me, Vickery. Kicked four goals in the same game last year. Which to me, we're 12 months further on, and everything else changes. But even in the NAB Challenge games, he popped a finger before the start of the game up in Lavington. So he was carrying it was dislocated. So he carried that for a couple of weeks, and I thought that sort of put him a little bit behind the eight ball in regards to really showing out over the summer months. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if they threw him in. And Chris Newman, he would be the one that I'd just have some sort of doubts on. Not doubts on Chris Newman, the footballer, but just doubts on the preparation coming back from that heart operation. Obviously, they had to go up through his groin to do the op.
Yep.
So, yeah, whether he's had enough background work, who knows? We don't know. I'm not coming from any side of things other than, gee, if they did play Vickery and play Griffiths as well, it just might stretch the Blues a little bit.
Well, I was going to ask you, is that a tactical manoeuvre now to try and stretch the defence of the Blues?
I think they could do that, could possibly do that. And the other thing that we've seen also with Carlton is that they've played Rowe, who played back all last year. For some particular reason, they've played him forward in all the early practice games. So which end does he play? And do Richmond want to force the hand of the Blues to make sure that he plays as a defender rather than the other way around? So there are just a couple of things. As I said, I don't know whether they'll do it, but it'll be something that I'll be waiting for the team sheets to come through just to sort of see how it locks away. Christian Jacks, as another one of those new boys. Seen a lot of him playing his junior football. He played with Carey, with my son, saw him play all the way through. Kicks the ball really well for a player of his height as a defender.
Yep.
So you don't worry with the ball in his hands. He's a good user of the footy. My concern, and I think I've heard Mick sort of say, my concern with him was he a competitive beast enough? Did he really sort of know that he belonged in the AFL scene? And I think Mick had sort of said when he first arrived that might have been a bit of the case. But what I've sort of seen of him in the NAB Challenge, I think he's handled himself really well.
Okay.
So I think that Jamison would be more likely to get Riewoldt. So I'm thinking that if Jax plays and it's only Griffiths, which it is at the moment, we can't pick blokes who aren't out there. I would think that Jax would line up on Griffiths.
Okay. What about McIntosh? Camden McIntosh for Richmond. I haven't come across him too much.
Nice size. I really like he's a really good sort of 6'3" in the old, good strong body on him, thumping kick.
Yeah.
He's one of these guys that if he gets it, sort of 60 or 70 out, it'll land it right into the goal square. Sort of so it gets over a line with his kicking capabilities. He's had an injury, so he just had no continuity of footy, but it's been pretty good. Must say, having seen all three of Richmond games, I thought they had to play him. I thought that he'd done enough to play.
All right. And in general terms, Terry, the game itself, do you know what to expect from a style point of view as to where the outcome might lean towards at this stage?
Yeah, I haven't seen much change with the way that Carlton have gone about it. I think that they'll go what we saw last year, that more one-on-one type of play that they had later in the year. I expect that to be exactly the same. Richmond have been fast play. It's been, get the ball, get it going, take off at all occasions, play that slingshot out of defence, be prepared to really take risk.
Which got them back into the finals last year.
Correct.
That game of
yeah, it was almost when they were out of finals contention that they sort of said, oh, let's just go and play.
Yep.
And when they played with that freedom, they were a lot better. They've been playing with freedom, albeit that freedom had a, about, what, 57 or 59 points kicked against them in the first quarter against North Melbourne. So they've got to watch that going back the other way. But they look a better side when they play fast play. And they've got enough blokes with the dynamics to play that fast, overlap, flowing style of football. And I think that that's the way that they'll go about their footy tonight. So for me, that sort of says one side will be trying to shut it down a little bit, the Blues, and one side will be trying to free flow it as much as possible. So important players, I would think Yaron becomes a critical player. When I have a look at the backline structure of Carlton, he's the one that really is the run and carry player. I think Morris has been set for Yaron for about 3 weeks, and that's why we saw him trialing us at half forward. Take your bloke out. If you can pinch one, that's a bonus.
Yep.
But I would think that if Richmond went in tonight and Morris shut Yaron totally out of the game and had no real impact himself, I think that's a tick on Morris's ledger, and I think it's a tick on Richmond's.
All right, so who wins?
I think Richmond, but not... I wouldn't be shocked at all. If I knew that there was continuity in Gibbs and Murphy over the pre-season, Yaron had been crook over the last couple of weeks. There's just a couple of things for me that I'm a bit unsure about, whether all those Carlton boys are absolutely up and running.
Mm.
So Richmond, but only marginal, sort of 2.5 goals.
Not quite the 102 points that Kevin was suggesting this morning.
I wouldn't have thought so, but Kevin, he does get him in, doesn't he?
He does get very excited this time of the year. Tim Gussie's just called, got a few Eagles debutants we'll talk about when we discuss that game with Terry Wallace on the Thursday footy preview. And Patrick Keane has just tweeted the rookie list upgrades for Collingwood. Corey Galt's been upgraded as replacement for McCaffer.
Kingy will be happy.
Kingy will be very happy after discussing him today. Levi Greenwood's on the long-term injury list, no replacement yet. Melbourne have upgraded Aaron Vandenberg for Christian Petrarca.
He'll play.
North Melbourne have upgraded Robin Nahas for Daniel Nielsen.
Not sure whether he'll play.
St Kilda have upgraded Jack Sinclair for Seb Ross.
Good. Yeah, he's had a good, really good summer.
Ahmed Saad's upgraded off the rookie list for Daniel Marksworth. Adam Schneider upgrade for already injured Aaron Sipos.
He's got to be the oldest rookie
in the history of the game. Alex Johnson placed on injury list and have upgraded ruckman Sam Naismith in Sydney.
He's been going okay.
Has he?
Yeah, he's been improving.
And West Coast, Eric McKenzie placed on the long-term injury list, of course, and they've upgraded Kane Lucas.
Yeah, well, obviously a senior, mature player.
We'll see what happens this weekend with those guys. 3:23, back shortly. Thursday footy preview with Terry Wallace ploughing in on half-time, and we're going through the games. Had a good chat about Thursday night footy tonight from 6 on Melbourne's home of sport, Melbourne's home of footy, 11:16. SEM. We're going to go through the other 8 games as well, Terry. Just noticing today in the Herald Sun tipping page where KB is on the top line for the first time just about ever, I think, because there's no games tipped at the minute. There's a very, very big discrepancy between teams that are being tipped as opposed to the ones that are missing out. Like, it's really favourable towards one team. 27, 25, 23, 20 tipsters out of 29 tipping one team or another in 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, that surprises me. And the other thing that I was really surprised about half when I looked through the Herald Sun this morning is that we haven't played a game in earnest since the grand final. We've had a few practice games.
Yep.
So nothing has happened. There's 3 teams that are some hotly favoured and some marginally favoured, but 3 teams who were either 4 games or 3 games behind their direct opponent last year on the ladder.
Yep.
And yet the tipsters have favoured them. So it's just interesting that we do take into account, and particularly the one that I thought was very strange was the Brisbane-Collingwood one. 25 tipsters picking Brisbane and 4 picking Collingwood. Collingwood last year won 11 games.
Yep.
And Brisbane won 7 games. So there's a 4-game differential between the 2 sides last year, but it's a landslide Brisbane's way. And to me, that's off the back of a couple of things. A good trade period for Brisbane.
Yeah.
Obviously, Beams and Christensen coming in. And obviously, a couple of blokes coming back. Richard and Leuenberger coming back from injury as well.
That
but
was...
I think it's a feel-good around Brisbane at the moment.
Mm.
And it's definitely a feel-bad about the Collingwood Football Club.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure it's as
cut and dry
absolutely
as that.
Cut and dry as that. when Brisbane played their last game against Gold Coast in NAB Challenge 3, they were on 3 goals at three-quarter time. They kicked about 5 or 6 in the last quarter. I still look at Brisbane, magnificent midfield, and that might be just enough to get them the 4 points. Mm. But I still look at them and go, who is going to kick their goals? If you shut out young Josh Green, who else kicks the goals?
Yep.
Now, as much as what Jesse White, and Galt might be there, but I'll go Jesse White, as much as what we haven't got the confidence that Jesse White can do it on a regular basis for the Pies, I would back Jesse White to kick as many goals as what I would Close or McStay at this stage. I'm not saying that Close and McStay aren't going to be good young lads and they have to be played, but there are some question marks about where the goals are going to come from. Mm. You know, they're going to need Zorko and the midfielders to really be pummeling and, you know, kicking a few if they're going to get their scores up. So Cloak, Elliott, Fasolo, Jesse White, I still think that Collingwood has still got the ability to stump up enough score to be able to really take it up to the Brisbane.
All right, well, let's cover that game. You're tipping the Pies in that one.
Just, look, as I sort of said, the midfield of Brisbane might be enough to get them the win, and the result of 25-4 in the paper might be absolutely right, but I'm not so convinced it's that cut and dry.
I'm on the Brisbane Lions in that one, for all the reasons you say, regards to the acquisitions and what that might mean for Brisbane this year, and the unrest, perhaps, at the Pies from a list point of view, and just even the off-field stuff this week. Melbourne and Gold Coast tomorrow at the MCG. Terry, what do you make of this game?
Pleased to see the upgrade from Vandenberg.
Yeah.
I think he's had a great
big season.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Great pre-season, and he's not a young man. He's 23 years of age. Done the hard yards coming through the NEAFL. Won 2 best and fairest over the last 2 years up in Canberra. So good on him. Gets his chance to play. Melbourne have been okay. They were terrible in the last game against the Bombers, but had been okay up until that stage. The game that they played in Ballarat, where it was real fast play early, and they were able to get onto the scoreboard, showed some signs. I think their best practice game was the Fremantle practice game, where they were over in Perth. I thought they looked okay on that night. I just think Gold Coast, if they're going to make a step, have got a win.
Yep.
Look, they've got Lynch out. They've got Charlie Dixon out. So they've got a few missing. Amira won't play. So a few of the key boys. But I just think through that middle of the ground, the pace and the run and carry, Ablett back into the side. I don't care what sort of shape he's in. If he goes and sits in a forward pocket, he's going to come up with 3 goals.
Yep.
So I just think that they'll probably get the job done.
I'm with you. Gold Coast to win that one, but I'm keen to see how Melbourne come out at the MCG tomorrow. Sydney and Essendon's going to be a fascinating encounter too. We talked about this a little bit last week. Regardless of which way the verdict went on Tuesday, Essendon were going to be on the back foot.
Yeah, and
in
I think,
a big way.
Yeah, look, I heard Brett Stanton on the news hour, it's just sort of saying that he didn't think it would have any impact for the training that they did. He has to say that. Mm. I mean, that's exactly what he's got to say.
He's got to believe that too.
Oh, absolutely, and no issue with that whatsoever. But to not have a run, a proper hit out against proper opposition, it's got to impact you. And when that opposition is the side who just lost a grand final, were humiliated in a grand final, who just can't wait to get back out there to get the season started to do something about it. Mm. Look, I think Sydney will win, and I think they'll win reasonably comfortable. I expect Essendon to put up a bold showing. The result for Essendon of getting off the other day means that these first 2 games can be their warm-up games, their practice games, providing that they don't get now blown out of the water, which I don't think they will.
Yeah.
They'll be right to go by the time their 50-50 and must-win games come about. So they've got, in the first 4 weeks, I think they've got Hawthorn next week, and then it's Carlton-Collingwood or Collingwood-Carlton.
Collingwood.
So by the time they get to Carlton and Collingwood, they'll be in the shape to really start the battle, the fight. So, look, I think when I have a look at Sydney very quickly, I think Reed will play definitely down back.
Yep.
And he'll become part of the three-prong now. So Teddy Richards and
Grundy.
With Reed there. If they're ever not going to play in there, they played in that game in Canberra. They didn't have Tippett and Buddy went down in the first 30 seconds of the game. They left Reed to play back the whole game. So they were working on sort of saying, well, we'll just have a makeshift forward line for this practice game,
set up the back
and
half.
We'll just make sure that the back half looks like it's going to look come round one. They'll be hungry. There's no upset. There's not going to be the fairy tale story in this one for Essendon as far as I'm concerned.
I'm with you on that one. Sydney there at ANZ Stadium. We'll catch it all live on Melbourne's Home of Footy with Brett Phillips and Nathan Thompson. We'll get to a break 27-4. We're four games in. We've got five to go on the Thursday Footy Preview with Terry Wallace ploughing in on halftime. Oh, you can almost touch it. 21-4. Terry Wallace is with us on halftime ploughing in to the world of the AFL and the build-up to round number one. We are T-minus 2 hours, 21 minutes until we hand over to the team at the MCG. Hutto and Tonsils, Moons, Maxi, Robbo and Rowan as well for tonight's game, Carlton and Richmond after 4 o'clock. Footy Fix is back for 2015 as well. Tonsils, Turfy and the Ox. Matty Granlund, Dr. Turf and David Schwartz. We're going through the games this weekend in round one with Terry Wallace this afternoon. And we're up to the Bulldogs and the West Coast Eagles. Now, Tim Gossage was talking to us before three about possible debutants. It's been confirmed that Tom Lamb and Jackson Nelson will debut for the Eagles this weekend against the Bulldogs. Terry?
Yeah, well, Tommy Lamb deserves his spot. I thought he's been very good in the NAB Challenge games. For those who are history buffs, he's Ian Cooper, who played nearly best on the ground in 1966 grand final for St Kilda.
Yes.
Ian's his grandfather. So
right.
That's
okay.
A connection there. So Tommy will play centre half forward eventually as a key tall forward eventually.
Yep.
He'll play as a third tall at this stage of his career. But when they went and played Port Adelaide were about three or four goals up and West Coast couldn't virtually touch the ball. He came on and actually kick-started the West Coast Eagles and got them going. So, yeah, good competitor. That was always going to be my doubt about him, but no, he handled himself very well, stepped up to senior footy very well. Jackson Nelson is a boy from the Geelong Falcons. More your natural footballer, can play anywhere from half back through the middle of the ground to half forward.
Yep.
Nice size body, 188 sort of centimetres, wins his own footy. So, look, he'll be in there as a good young competitor.
All right, well, that's the Eagles. We've seen the Bulldogs, bit of transition in the Luke Beveridge era so far. It's only been a short era. Doesn't even qualify as an era yet, but short term anyway, under Luke Beveridge, they had a big performance against the Magpies. Is that the Bulldogs we'll see, or was it the one that had a pretty ordinary first couple of weeks?
I think the Bulldogs would be okay. I mean, this will be an interesting game. Another one of these games where the tipsters have selected the Bulldogs. I mean, there's a bit of home.
16-13
home advantage in this, but they were 7 wins last year. The West Coast were 11, so there's 4 difference between the two sides. I've gone to see the Bulldogs and the West Coast play live in their last two games that Eddie had. And both times I walked out of there going, how did the Bulldogs lose?
Yeah.
So there's been nothing.
I've been with you both times.
Yeah, there's been nothing between the two sides when they've actually played. So I expect that to be the way again. I think it'll be a pretty even game. If they can get the ball into McRae and Bontempelli's hands often enough, as happened that night against the Magpies, they had it 27 times in the first quarter.
Yeah.
27.
That's a bit many.
15 Bontempelli and 12 McRae in the first quarter.
That's a bit many for the key playmakers, I reckon.
I just don't sense that will be the way. I mean, whether it's a McGinnity or whoever it is, I think there'll be a couple of sort of lockdown type roles. I would expect, say, a McGinnity to go to somebody like a McRae, make it a little bit more difficult. I'd be fascinated by a McRae versus Gaff matchup on a wing. Both play wing,
yep.
But will they play the same wing and play on each other? That'd be a fascinating matchup. Both old Carey boys. Both like to roam far and wide.
Yep.
And both, given a bit of latitude, seriously know how to win the ball. So if they were to play on each other, that duel would be critical. I think if West Coast are going to win the game, they've got to find a way to take out McRae and Bontempelli from being a massive influence. And then I think that they've got enough maturity with some of their players, Brownlow medal winner, key power forward in Kennedy, obviously Lacroix down that end of the ground. I think they've got enough maturity in a few other areas that they could just about get the job done. But I'm still wanting to see the sides here because there's still been some question mark on a couple of the backmen for the West Coast Eagles. They can't afford to lose any more backmen.
No, they cannot.
I mean, obviously with Beau Waters, McKenzie, and losing Glass last year, if something happened and Schofield doesn't play, they probably can't win.
Who wins this game, Terry?
Look, I'm going with the West Coast marginally, but wouldn't be shocked at all if the Bullies knock them over.
I reckon the Bullies. I'm going to ride that wagon for a bit, see how that goes, because I just cannot work out what's happening at West Coast. Just can't quite work them out. So Kilda and GWS is the next one up for grabs at Etihad Stadium on Sunday. Terry, we know it's going to be a difficult year for the Saints, but hopefully progress from the young batch of guns. And GWS, we've seen them develop a bit through this pre-season with a couple of handy acquisitions off-season. What's going to happen here?
I think GWS will win the game, and I think that they'll win the game rather comfortably. When I say that, 4 goals plus, so around that sort of that mark. St Kilda, just too many injuries. I would have thought that St Kilda would have really rated themselves in this game, and I'm talking internally. Internally, they still probably do, but I'm saying behind closed doors if you're a coaching staff match committee. But with the blokes that they've lost, and a couple of them will come back, but they're underdone. I'm hoping that Nick Riewoldt gets out and plays. That'd be great for Saints fans to be able to sort of see him back on the playing arena. That'd be great. Clearly, that's his decision whether he's ready for that that step or not. But I just sort of see the advancement in GWS, and I'm talking over 18 months now. Mumford, Shaw, Patful, Griffin. And then you put that development with their young players that they've got into the system. I love the way that Leon Cameron is leaving virtually his two wingmen on the wings. Yes, they rotate, but predominantly they play Kelly on one wing and Whitfield on the other wing. And it gives them real pace and skill. Leon started his career playing exactly that sort of role. So
knows a bit about it.
Like the way that they're developing themselves, I think that just in pure class, I think that they'll just be too strong for the Saints.
Too strong for the Saints. I tend to agree. GWS to win that first clash for them against the Saints on Sunday. Also on Sunday is Adelaide North. This is a cracker. I want to talk to you about this after the break because I want to give this the due credit it deserves.
Best game of the round.
Sunday and Monday, terrific. Well, they're all good games, but Adelaide North, Freo, Port, then Hawthorn, Geelong Monday. It's a nice way to finish.
Bring it last three games.
Really good games of footy coming up. We'll take a break. It's 14-4. Terry Wallace is with us. We're ploughing in. We're doing a bit of a Thursday footy preview on halftime, and we'll continue to do that after the break. Righto, Terry. We've got three games to go in round one to get through on the Thursday footy preview, and they are crackers. Adelaide and North Melbourne, Sunday at the Adelaide Oval. And it's going to be a very, very good encounter. Two teams expected a fair bit of, particularly the Kangaroos. Terry, where does it fit in the scheme of things in round one?
Best two performed teams in the NAB Challenge. I know that it was a bit of a nothing NAB Challenge, but they're both up, ready to go.
Yep.
Adelaide need to win if they believe that they're going to break into the top eight. North need to win if they believe that they're going to break into the top three or two, you know, and be able to get right up to become finalists. So it's a fascinating game. I'm tipping North. I look at it, Scotty Thompson hasn't played a game yet and always takes a little bit to come to hand, particularly on the fast tracks. They lost Crouch. So yes, they've lost two of their inner working, big-bodied, hard inside midfielders. And I think that North will be able to compete with them around that area. Really the first time since, well, probably only the last 3 weeks or so, when we had Harvey fit and well, Del Santo fit and well, and Wells was the one last year, all fit and well. I can't tag all three of them. Two of them, to me, get out of the loop somewhere along the line. And I think the class that they've got, you've got obviously Higgins and Waite really wanting to prove a point first up.
Yep.
Tough task. Adelaide got them in South Australia down at Port Lincoln in round one of the NAB Challenge. It was a windy day. North come flying home. I thought Adelaide deserved to actually win the game. But so, tough task, but I think North are up to the task.
North. I haven't seen much of North through the pre-season campaign. I only saw a little bit of that first game against Adelaide you were talking about. I've watched a bit of Adelaide, and I like what they're cooking. I'm smelling what they're cooking, and I think it's going to be delicious.
Bit more defensive aspect to it?
Yeah.
Team defence?
Well, I think North would be a good team. They're sort of around the top four mark for mine, but early days, at home, I'm just leaning towards, and a 50-50 for me, really. I'm going to Adelaide.
Well, this is my issue. I've picked quite a few interstate sides away, or teams playing away from their home state, which is a worry, but I'm just picking them at the moment on what I've seen and who I think the better squads going into the game.
All right, that's North and Adelaide. Going to be a cracker and hard to tip, as Terry and I have just showed you. We've gone one apiece there. Freo and Port's another one at Domain Stadium, which is the old Patterson Stadium, which is the old Subiaco, on Sunday. Tim Gossage will be there with Ben Allen and Darren Gasper for SEN Footy. Two teams, top four last year. Freo at straight sets. Port Adelaide defeated them in the semi, I think it was.
Yep.
Semi?
Yeah. Yep, knockout
semi. Knockout semi. So they'll be smarting. Tough to tip. A lot expected of both teams, Terry. Freo at home for me.
Well, I'm tipping Fremantle. I'm confident in tipping Fremantle. Why? Port Adelaide a little bit underdone. Hartlett won't be there. We haven't seen Wingard all through the summer months.
Monfrey's play?
So he's been underdone. You've got Monfrey's and Ryder,
yep,
obviously underdone. Fremantle really should have put that game away, left the door open in that final last year. I still think Port Adelaide are going to be a really good side, but I think they're a couple of weeks away from getting all the parts of the jigsaw puzzle back together and at home and smarting from a loss against the same team last year. I think that's enough for Fremantle to win the game.
How's their top five, their first 5 weeks, Port Adelaide? Fremantle away, Sydney at home, North, Etihad, Hawthorn at Adelaide Oval, and Adelaide, a showdown at Adelaide Oval. It's a pretty tough 5 weeks, isn't it?
It's a really tough. They've got to come out of that 5 weeks with three results.
Yeah.
And I think if they come out 3-2, they've done a fine job and off they go from there. But they don't want to be any less than 3-2.
Last game of the round, Terry's Monday. We'll be there, of course, from midday. The coverage starts for Hawthorn and Geelong at the mighty MCG. It's going to be a cracker. Always is a fantastic contest. Two great teams.
Yeah, looking forward to the game. As you said, they always put on a great game. I think we probably saw this game prior to trade and draft period as Hawthorn's still right on top of the game. Geelong just heading south a little bit, but all of a sudden the introduction of Clark into a lineup makes a big difference to the forward structure. Cockatoo comes in, very, very exciting player. So I think Geelong's stocks have actually risen since the end of last year as well. So, look, I think it'll be a good game again. I have to pick Hawthorn. I think Hawthorn are the measuring stick of the competition as it sort of stands at the moment. So everyone else in the competition's got a bit of work still to do to get back to them. So it's Hawks for me, but in these games, you wouldn't be surprised if we get to the 15-minute mark in the last quarter and they're still locked together.
Hawks for me too. I think, as you say, they're still the benchmark and still yet to be defeated. Well, clearly yet to be defeated, but everyone else is chasing them at the moment, and I expect them to win this game. But as you say, Geelong's stocks are on the up. Just on round one, Terry, the level playing field, the even clean slate. How do you coach? What messages do you use coaching that in the build up to round one?
Well, look, all you're trying to do is, I mean, you've had the whole summer of trying to get your game together. So I think that's where the concentration is for most sides in round one, is just if we can do what we've planned to do over the 6 months, and let's use the Bulldogs. Mm. Bulldogs did that in their last practice game. That doesn't guarantee that happens in round one as well, because you might have been given a few leniences from the opposition. But you're trying to put into place the jigsaw puzzle that you've put together over that time. Try not to just put all the eggs into the basket that this is the grand final. This is the main day, and you've got to be careful of that. Always think there's more pressure on sides who are outside of the eight to show something in round one than what there is on sides inside the eight to know that they're good enough.
All right, it's a fascinating week of footy. Always is round one any season. This year is going to be no different. Tonight from 6, we'll catch it all live on SEN. Righto, Terry, we are done. It's going to be a great week. Any plans for the weekend? Just watching footy all weekend?
Watching footy all weekend. We've got a couple of Melbourne supporters coming in here now, haven't we?
Oh, they'll be up and about too, Turfy and the Ox.
All the best.
Thank you, mate. Have a great weekend.
Good luck.
Happy Easter.
Cheers.
To you and the family. To all you guys and gals out there, have a great Easter.